Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Who wrote that song we just sang? Martin Luther. Was Luther a perfect man? Not by a long shot. He had problems. But he stumbled in God's sovereign grace onto the truth. And when he discovered the truth, he would not let go of it. He was a brilliant mind and a very courageous fighter. And so when he challenged folks on October 31st of 1517 to debate these points, these arguments, he didn't get a lot of takers. He was a powerful teacher and writer. And this time of year, we celebrate the fact that God used him and that event as a pivotal event in order to change the course of history all over the world. Because out of the Reformation, you not only had the resurgence of the proclamation of the gospel, but you had from that the missionary zeal of people saying, we've got to spread this word all over the world. People need to know this. This really is good news. So I want you to open your Bible, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 2, and then we're going to look back in Galatians for a moment, because these are two passages that help provide the framework for the five solas that we're going to be talking about. In Ephesians chapter 2, this is what God's Word says. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now go back to the previous book, Galatians chapter 1. Because even early in the church's history, there were those who attempted to take the people away from the truth of the gospel and believe other things instead. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion or trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Heavenly Father, help us to believe and obey your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What I've just read to you is not from the writings of Martin Luther. It is from the writings of St. Paul. It is from the Holy Scriptures. It is God's word. It is not the opinion of man. And I want you to understand two things from what we just looked at. First of all, salvation is God's doing. That's why it's good news. If it was something you and I had to accomplish, something we had to work our way into, something we had to buy with money, if that's what it was, it wouldn't be good news at all. What if you don't have enough money? What if your sins are too many? But you see, the good news, it's really good news. The good news is that God loved us so much, he sent Jesus to save us. Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's great news. And you and I, according to Ephesians 2, which we read a moment ago, you and I were all dead in trespasses and sins. We weren't just sick, we weren't just ailing, we weren't just in danger. We were dead. If God didn't intervene and rescue us, there's no hope. And so the picture that God gives us in Ephesians 2 is that we were dead and he made us alive. Who gets the credit for that? God. How much of the credit? All of it. It is his doing. And so we are amazed by his grace that God would save us. That is really good news. But you see, to some people, if you just tell folks that God's the one who saves them and that all they've got to do is trust Jesus, well, they not only might not do very well, but they won't depend on you. When I preach, I work hard at making it simple and clear and hopefully memorable. Because my goal is not for you to say, oh, I just would never understand the Bible unless Pastor Wood explained it. No, my goal is for you to see that the stuff I'm saying to you is right here in the text. I'm not the guy with the answers. God's word is where you find the answers. The Bible means what it says, and it says what it means. That's why we want the Bible in a language you can understand. My French is not very good. But if I were to polish up my French and start reading to you from the French text, and perhaps even bringing in some of Calvin's institutes in French, which is the way he wrote them, would you be blessed? I don't think so. But I could impress you. You might be impressed, but you wouldn't be blessed. I don't want you impressed. I want you blessed. I want you to hear that and understand it. Years ago, I took one of my kids who had recently come to this country from Ukraine to a worship service where the people were speaking Russian, which is very much like Ukrainian. And so he's sitting there in the worship service. He's been in the country for, I guess at that point, about a month. He's sitting there in the worship service. They're up there speaking Russian, and he's understanding all this. And all of a sudden, he turned to me, and he said, Papa, they're speaking Russian. And I said, yes, that's why we came here. He said, oh. You see, he was understanding it, and he was thinking his English had really improved. Because he was understanding everything that was being said. And then all of a sudden he realized it's because they were talking his language. That's the way the Bible's supposed to be. That's one of the main things that was at the heart of the Reformation. Taking the Bible, putting it in the language of the people. So that in Germany, you get it in German. In England, you get it in English. In France, you get it in French. We put the Bible in the language of the people so that the people can read for themselves that, for it is by grace you've been saved. Through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. If anybody preaches a gospel other than that one, God says they're damned. So are you saying anybody who's not a Protestant is damned? No. I'm saying anybody who preaches a gospel other than this one, even if they are Protestant, is damned. You see, it's not just an error to tell people that they've got to earn their salvation. That's not just an error. That's a damnable error, according to God's word. And so the reason that we make a big deal out of this is because God makes a big deal out of this. God says, through the Apostle Paul, even if we preach another gospel to you, let us be damned. Even if an angel comes down from heaven and preaches another gospel to you, let him be damned. There is no other gospel. It's a false gospel. It's a fake. It is lousy. Don't go for it. Don't believe it. It'll destroy you. The only hope for anybody, anywhere, is God's grace in Christ Jesus. This couldn't be more important. So what are the five solas? What does that mean? Sola means only, alone. These are five things that the Reformation turned the spotlight on and said you need to understand these things. The first one is sola scriptura, scripture alone. Scripture alone. That doesn't mean that we don't study and learn anything outside the Bible. What it's saying is scripture above all else. If I want to know whether something's true or not, scripture's the final authority. Not what the church says about it, not what Pastor Wood says about it, not what mommy and daddy said about it, not what grandpa said about it. The question is, what does God say about it? This is his word. It is God breathed. We read that yesterday from Paul's letter to Timothy. This is absolutely perfect. It's complete. It is without error. So many people, you can't tell me that the Bible doesn't have errors in it. The Bible's full of errors. I learned that in a freshman comparative religion course at the university. You know what my response has been over the years to various people who've told me the Bible's full of errors? I hand them my Bible, say, show me. They don't know. They don't know the book. They haven't read the book. There are things in the Bible that are hard to understand. There are things in the Bible where there are differences within the text. There is nothing in the Bible that is wrong. Nothing. It is pure truth. It is God's word. And so when we're trying to decide, well, is this group right or is that group right? The way you resolve that is not just listen to both sides and say, well, gee, I just don't know. You need to go to the scriptures, see what God says. What does God say? Now, does that mean that if everybody just read the Bible, we would have no disagreements? No, it doesn't, because we got a problem with us. We bring ourselves to the scriptures. But it's not the Bible that's changing. God's word remains true. I have precious Christian friends who disagree with me about certain doctrinal matters, but we are in agreement that Scripture is the authority, and so we can go to the Scriptures and talk together in a civil and loving way about what it is Scripture says and why we believe that what that means is this. But the Bible doesn't change, and the Bible's right. I may be wrong. They may be wrong. We may both be wrong. The Bible's right. So, Scripture alone, meaning it is in a class by itself. It is above all human arguments and human institutions. Scripture alone. In your typical list of solas, the next one would be faith alone, but I'm going to put that third, and I'll tell you why later. I'm going to go to the second sola being grace alone. What does that mean? It means we're only saved because of God's grace. And we just read from the passage in Ephesians that is kind of the centerpiece of this argument. We're saved by grace. That's what it says. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. It's not by grace plus something else. God didn't say, well, how about if we go halvesies? Okay? I'm willing to pay part of this. You just have to make up the rest. We'll call it going Dutch. No. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He's the one who saves us. By grace. Not a result of works. Well, but I had to accept it. Yeah, and what condition were you in? I was dead. Okay, well, boy, I'm impressed. You did a great job for a dead man. I mean, I was dead in trespasses and sins. He made me alive, and he did it on the basis of grace. That means it's completely undeserved. So what I brought to the table was my need. I brought my sin. I brought my death. I owe him everything. He is to be praised, not me. It's by grace. It's by grace alone. Well, don't we have to receive it? Yes, we receive it by faith. That means trusting him. Faith alone. Well, we have to do good works, don't we? If you have faith, you will. We read in verse 8 of Ephesians 2, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." But here's verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." It's not faith plus works, it is faith that works. James makes it very clear, if you are not walking in obedience to God and living a life characterized by good works, there is no reason to believe that your faith is genuine. This kind of faith is not mere intellectual assent. It's not just believing certain propositional truths. Yes, I believe this is true. Yes, I believe this is true. Yes, I believe this is true. The devil knows that stuff is true. The demons believe and tremble. The devil's not a skeptic. He doesn't wonder if the miracles happen. You know that story about Jonah and the great fish? I'm just not sure that I can buy that. He knows. He knows it happened. He remembers Jonah. He tried to get Jonah to run away from God. Worked okay for a little while. Then God kind of stepped in and turned things around. And folks, just believing those things, being able to tick them off and say, yeah, I believe that's true, that's not saving faith. Saving faith is trusting in Jesus and depending on Jesus and resting in Jesus. That's saving faith. And the consequence of that is that when Jesus says, do something, you say, I'd love to. Say, Pastor, do you always feel that way about everything God says to you? Of course not. But what is the characteristic of my life? My life is a thank you to him because I'm so grateful for what he did for me. Folks, let me just tell you. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the fourth thing. Our faith is in Christ alone. So are you saying we don't believe in God the Father? Of course not. That's not what that means. It means that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. It means there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It means the only hope for the salvation of people anywhere in the world, at any point in history, is Jesus. That's what it means. Christ alone. So Scripture alone is our authority. Grace alone is the means by which we're saved. Faith that works alone is the means by which we receive it. And that faith, by the way, comes from God. And our faith is in Christ alone. So as a result of this, who gets the glory? God alone. Glory to God alone. The glory of God transcends everything. Every success. When a pagan makes a great catch on the football field, it is for the glory of God. Because God is the one who designed the human body and gave that person the ability to do what they did, including the opportunity to develop those skills. Everything. They couldn't. Let me just tell you, what would happen to that wonderful receiver if all of a sudden God said, let's just make the oxygen go away? Is he going to catch the football? No, he won't even be able to catch a cold. He's dead. Every one of us, everywhere on the planet, owe everything to him. So all the glory belongs to God. God created the universe. And then when these little tiny creatures on this little bitty planet that was specially designed for us rebelled against God, God chose to save us. And therefore, God alone gets all the glory. Amen? Those are the five solas. Scripture alone. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And therefore, all the glory belongs to God alone. When the church saw, the Roman church saw that the pagans in Great Britain were engaging in all sorts of evil, occultic, witchcraft, and similar practices at this time of year, and had a big celebration of their pagan, demonic worship of Samhain, Lord of the Dead. The church decided, instead of simply saying, that's wrong, you need to repent, let's try and combine the honoring of those who've died in the last year within the church with this other. And they moved All Saints Day to November 1st so that it would come right after the pagan celebration that was taking place in the British Isles. And they dubbed the night before All Hallows Eve, became known as Halloween, Hallowed Evening. And so the church tried to Christianize a pagan holiday, October 31st, and that's where we get the idea of fascination with the spirits of the dead and all of that stuff on October 31st. Tetzel, the fundraiser who was selling indulgences in Germany, knew that a great time in Germany to celebrate the sale of these pardons from Rome would be All Saints Day, November 1st. And so he announced that the church in Rome was selling indulgences, a get out of jail, not for free card. Okay? They invented a totally unscriptural concept called purgatory, a place for people who weren't ready to go right to heaven because they weren't clearly trusting in Jesus and him alone. Well, what about if after you die, you could go to an intermediate place? We don't want to have you go to hell, but we know you're not ready to go to heaven. So let's have kind of an intermediate place called purgatory. Not in the Bible anywhere. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The church invented this place called purgatory and then offered, if you give us money, you can get out sooner. What a deal. It was a pack of lies. Still a pack of lies. And Luther, knowing that they were going to be pushing the sale of these indulgences on November 1st, decided October 31st would be a real good time to post a notice telling everybody, don't give your money to that man. He's lying to you. That's why we have something to celebrate on October 31st. And it's not stuff about the spirits of the dead. And it's not about witchcraft and black cats and women in pointy hats. Is that clear? Do we have something good to celebrate? Absolutely. We have the truth. We have the Bible in our own language. We have the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have religious freedom. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.